Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Yud, 7:10, and the Mishnah continues to detail the various Averas listed back in Mishnah Dalad, for which there'd be a penalty of Skila. This Mishnah talks about the Mesis and the Madiach. So the Mesis essentially is a missionary. It's a Jew who solicits another Jew to serve idols. Really, that could be in three basic varieties, like we saw back in the Mishnah a couple of Mishnahs ago, what it meant to be Ovid of Vodazara. It would mean either accepting another idol as a god, or worshipping any of these false gods, either the way they're worshipped or the way we worship Hashem, in those four ways. So the actual crime of being a Mesis is simply to solicit another Jew to do that, to serve the idol. And that solicitation alone, whether or not the Jew actually, you know, does anything further, is the crime. That's because, as the pasuk says, "Vesakalto ba'avanim v'meis," he'll stone that person and he will die. "Ki vikesh ladichacha me'al Hashem alakacha," because he sought to push you away from Hashem. So just the seeking, the intention of trying to push someone away, the attempt to do so, is the violation. Now, the difference between a mesis and a mediach is that the mesis is soliciting individuals, whereas the mediach turns the majority of a city to idol worship. So first we'll talk about the mesis, which is the primary focus of our Mishnah here. And the Mishnah starts out by saying, "Ha-mesis, ze hediot, ha-mesis, es ha-hediot." We're talking about an hediot, meaning a regular person, as opposed to a person who is a false prophet. In general, the term hediot it's a relative term. It refers to somebody who isn't like special in some particular way. Here, the thought is that the false prophet who's claiming that Hashem told them to worship this idol would be a different category. According to the Tana over here, this is Rabbi Shimon, the person who acts as a false prophet would not get the skila punishment, rather the chenek punishment. So that's his point here. And hamesis es hahediot means that he is soliciting individuals as opposed to a whole city, in which case he'd be a mediach. Now, our Tana is not lahalacha. The halacha is that one who solicits another to serve idols, whether he's doing it in the name of God as if he's a false prophet, or otherwise, would both get skila. And similarly, the halacha is that both the mesis and the mediach both get skila. So this mishnah over here has been taught by Rav Shimon is really against the chacham and the halacha in those two ways. The mishnah now will describe what hasata, what missionizing, looks like. So it says, for example, Amar lo, if the missionary says to his fellow Jew, "Yesh yira," there's some other deity somewhere, but makom ploni, elsewhere, over there. Kach ocheles, kach shosa, this is what it eats, this is what it drinks. Kach metiva, this is what benefit it confers by serving it. Kach meria, here are the negative consequences of failing to serve it. So the point is, the mission here is just sort of illustrating what it would look like. Now, what's interesting is what this line of the Mishnah is actually doing here, because describing a foreign deity and even claiming, you know, things about it, like its benefits, whatever it is not the prohibition we're talking about over here. That certainly would not be considered skila. It's just it's something else altogether. The isser of being a mesis and the consequence that would get skila requires actually solicitation, a call to action, to actually serve or accept the god, which hasn't happened here in this Mishnah. The Gemara points out, this is giving you an insight into how this works. People are familiar with their local folk and their local strange peculiarities of local folk. So therefore, for this to work, typically the mesis will be talking about something unfamiliar, like over there in a different place, over there in India, they have this really strange practice, which actually is amazing, and here's why, blah, blah, blah. Since the person being solicited is unfamiliar, he's much more likely to fall for it. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to make a new point here, which is a very amazing point, which is that unlike all of the other averas for which there's a penalty, any kind of penalty for that matter, by the Bezdin, you need Edim and Hasra, you need to have witnesses, and they need to give warning. The big exception to that rule is here in our Mishnah. There's a special din, which is that Mesis doesn't need to get the formal hasra, like being put on notice of the consequence of their action, in order to be held culpable for making such solicitation. This is based on the fact that the Pasuk says especially, velo sachmol, you shouldn't have a kind of any kind of mercy, compassion on the mesis, velo sechasa alav, and you shouldn't try to cover up for him. So the idea is that we are especially ready to pounce, we're prone to convict this mesis, and therefore we don't need like a full-blown hasra, a full-blown warning. The Mishnah later on, not right now, but the Mishnah later on will explain that actually a little bit of a warning, but it's like a warning light, just giving them kind of a last chance. Now, the Mishnah here is not going to talk about that yet. We'll come back to what that last chance is, so to speak. Here the Mishnah says, Kol chayve misel shebatora, when it comes to any other kind of capital crimes, ein machminin alehin. We don't entrap the would-be avaryan, the would-be sinner, meaning we're not going to like put secret witnesses to overhear what he's doing or to spy on him and then to, you know, trick him into it. We're not going to, like, you know, lay bait for him to trap him to do his avera. No, we don't do that. Chutz mezu, the exception is the mesis. With the mesis, we actually do sort of put someone, we entrap him. We are prepared to put, like, you know, secret witnesses to listen in and ultimately be able to convict him. So, for example, Amar Lishnayim, if the Mesis speaks to two people, soliciting them both to serve this idol, Vehen Edav, so then those two people who heard the solicitation together could function as witnesses, even without having given him a full warning, although again, like I said before, there's like a small warning we'll describe shortly. Those two guys that he solicited, Mevian Osol Vezdin, Vesoklin Osol, those very two people who are solicited, even without a full hasra, will act as the witnesses, and they will take this mesis to the bezin and actually carry out the skila on him. Even though there wasn't some sort of formal, full-blown hasra warning prior to that. But if the mesis is a little more clever, and Amar le'echad, he only speaks to one person at a time, so that you don't have two witnesses together, so then who omer, the person being solicited, should say to the Mesis, the missionary, Yeshli Chaverim Rotzim Bakach. I have friends who, you know, who would love to hear about this and get involved. That's the trap, right? Because you need to get the missionary to speak to two people simultaneously so we can have Edus to bring him to Bezin and take him to task. So then now the solicited person says, let's here, come tell me and my friends together. We all want to hear about it. So that's a setup for there to be two witnesses. Imhaya Arum, now if the Mesis is a clever operator, he knows that's a tricky thing to do two people at the same time, because then they could just pounce on him. So if he says, Venu Yachul Adaber Befneim, he says, listen, he makes an excuse why he can't speak to two people at once, he just wants to do one person at a time. So then, Machminen Lo Edim Achore Hagader. Then we set up a trap for him. We put to lay in wait two witnesses behind the wall to you know, essentially be the witnesses who will ultimately convict this guy. Vahu, and the person being solicited, Omer Lo, he'll say to the mesis, to the missionary himself, you know, in order to entrap him. He says, Omer Masha Martali Biyichud, can you tell me again what you told me before when we were, the other time we were alone? The idea is, now there'll be witnesses who are going to hear this for themselves firsthand. Now, when I say hear, the truth is witnesses need to actually see with their eyes. So that means that these witnesses can't just listen in. They actually have to peer through a hole in the wall or something and actually both observe this solicitation to serve a false god go down, as well as hear with their ears, of course. And if you'll ask, wait a second, why do we have two witnesses behind the wall? Can't we just have one witness? Because one witness behind the wall plus the person being solicited again makes for two. The answer is there's a general rule when it comes to Eidos that the witnesses need to be able to see one another. So if the one witness would be hiding behind the wall, so then the person being solicited wouldn't be able to see him. They couldn't combine being a single caste, a single group to do Eidos. So therefore we have two hiding behind the wall. Vahala, now the mesis, he starts and he says, Omer Lo, he tells him, yeah, we're going to go do this, let's go do this sort of idol worship activity. Vahu, so then the person being solicited, Omer Lo, he should respond back to the missionary and say, so this is the, I'll call it the warning light. I mean, this isn't the full hasra. Normally hasra is, you shouldn't do that, and if you do, the bezin will punish you with, you know, execution for your crime. This is just like a lighter version of this. And this reflects back on what would happen before in the previous case, even when we're not doing entrapment, just simply if, you know, the missionary approached two people, the person being solicited should say, Heich naniach es Elokeinu shebashamayim, how can we just abandon our God in heaven? V'nelech v'na'avod eitzim avonim, and we're going to go now serve sticks and stones? It's crazy. So now, that is the last chance for the missionary to back down. Im chozer bo, if indeed the missionary does back down, which means either A, he says, you know, you're right, we shouldn't do this, and he backs down altogether, or even if simply he's silent, in other words, he just basically doesn't persist in further instigation of the people he's soliciting, that'll be enough. So in harezesh mutav, that's good, meaning that now he hasn't crossed that line of no return, and therefore he won't, for his activities, be executed. But Vim Amar, but if he persists even a little bit, and he says, Kachi chovosenu, he says, no, we really ought to do this, that's our obligation. Or he says, Vakach yafelano, no, it'll be good for us, it'll be great. So once he's crossed that line and reasserted that he, to instigate, to push to action to the person he's soliciting to serve the idol, there's no going back. At that point, he's crossed the line and he's now chayv misa. And just like every other Avera tshuva is good, but doesn't change the fact that you're going to get punished from the Bezin, same too. Once he's been essentially, given his last chance by the objection, how can we do this to our Hashem? If the missionary says, no, we should do it, then boom, there's no going back. At that point, the two witnesses, ha'omdin ma'achorei ha'gadar, the two witnesses who were hiding behind that wall, mevin oso le'bezdin v'soklin oso, they're going to pounce now and they're going to drag him to Bezin and give him skila. Okay, now, the Mishnah says a lot of words. I'm not perfectly sure why it says all these words. Let me just make the point the Mishnah is trying to make here, which is that the line that has to be crossed for a Mesis to be culpable is he has to make a call to action. He has to tell the person he's soliciting, you should do this act of idol worship. And that act of idol worship, again, could be one of three kind of categories. There could be to serve the idol the way it's served. So if we're talking about, Baal Peor, we're all going to go turn our backsides and make poops in front of this idol. Or if it's, even if it's not the normal way the idol is served, to solicit to serve the idol, one of the four ways we serve Hashem, which is, again, that's animal sacrifice called Zevach, or incense offering the like, Haktara, or libations, Nisuch, or prostration, Hishtachavaya, any of those four things. Even if that's not the normal way to serve this particular idol, if it's advocated we should do that to this idol, that would also be a violation. Or finally, if the Mesis just simply tells the solicited person that he should accept the false god as his god, those three categories of things would be the line that's being crossed. Now, the Mishnah says a lot of things here, but it only means just what I said, not more than that. So it gives examples now, like when you cross the line. It says, for example, Ha'omer, if one, the Mesa, says to his fellow Jew, E'evod, I'm going to go serve the idol. And then, now the Mishnah doesn't say these words, but these are the essential words. After I do that, you are going to serve it also after me. You're going to make the poop against the Baal Peor after I do. Or, Eilech ve'evod, I'm going and I'm going to go serve the idol. And when I'm finished, then you go after me. And again, the essential point is the instructions, you do it after me. Or if he says, Nelech v'na'avod, let's go together and serve the idol together. Then it's together. All those things we cross the line, and that's referring to unique ways that are served to this particular false god. But then we have all the other four ways, and really we're keeping the same structure. If a person says, Ezbach, or he says Elech v'Ezbach, or he says Nelech v'Nizbach, sorry, v'Nizabeach, let's go together. Again, as long as he says, after I go, you're going to go make the sacrifice, or do the sacrifice together, that'd be crossing the line. Same goes if he says, Aktir, I'm going to burn incense, then you'll follow me. Elech v'Aktir, I'm going there and burning incense, you'll follow me. Nelech v'Naktir, let's go burn incense together. Or Anasech, I'm going to pour libations, and then you after me. Elech v'anasech, I'm going to go pour libations and you come after me. Or nelech v'unenaseach, or we're going to go together and we'll serve the libations together. Or eshtachaveh, I'm going to bow down. and then you should after me. Or he says, Eilech v'eshtachave, I'm going to go there and I'm going to bow down, and you'll bow down after me. Or if he says, Neilech v'eshtachave, let's go together and bow down together. In all those cases, that's crossing the line, which if there was already that warning ahead of time, that's a little mini warning, that would be cross the line to be culpable for skila. Now, the Mishnah has done with that point. It's going to just speak for a moment now about the Madiach. The Madiach, the difference to the Madiach is he's not speaking to individuals. He's speaking to a whole town. He's trying to get the whole town to become idolaters. And as long as he speaks to the whole town and he gets, if he succeeds, that's it. So if he speaks to the whole town, he's called a Madiach. So what's that look like? It says, HaMadiach says, Ze Omer, Nelech V'Nam V'Vodazara. He says to the group, let's go together and serve the Vodazara. So by saying that to the majority of the city's residents, he's become Madiach. And the bottom line, however, is Halacha is the same. We paskin that both the Mesis and the Madiach get Skila. So it'll be the same kind of thing. And the same kind of rules would apply to the Madiach they do to the Mesis. The big difference is if a city actually falls through with the Madiach and becomes an Ir HaNidachas, a wayward city where the majority of the people served the idol, then there are other rules. The whole city essentially gets burned down and can't be rebuilt again, including the contents within it, so it's a different kind of story. But in terms of the consequences of being a Mesis or Madiach, the halacha essentially they're the same.